Oh, and yet you love me. What a God you are. You are amazing God, God of grace, God of second chances, a God of forgiveness. We bless your name. Thank you that you've made a way to know you and to walk with you. Thank you that you welcome us into your presence, and that Jesus, you've made the way possible. So we bless you tonight. We thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. And thank you that we can know you and walk with you. And I pray that you will continue to stir our hearts to walk with you and to seek your face. Thank you for your presence here tonight. We love you, God, and we say we need you, and you are the only God. You are greater than anything else. So we bless you tonight. Amen. God is not silent. That was it. Thank you. Let's close in prayer. Well, first we take an offering. No. God is not silent, and God is not hiding. My father was a pastor. He's now with God himself, and he had an amazing ministry in Canada. One day he came back from a conference that had to do with the subject of prayer and the Holy Spirit. And he had already pastored for probably 30 years at that point. And he came home from this conference, happened to be a John Wimber conference, on prayer and the Holy Spirit. And he said to me, I was maybe 15 years old or something, he said, Ralph, I wish I had heard such and had such input into my life when I first started ministry. And I thought, man, he had such an amazing ministry. But he said, I wish I had had such teaching and encouragement and words from God's Word about the Holy Spirit in my life when I first started. I wonder what my ministry could have been like had I had that kind of teaching. Well, in my mind, he was already way off the scale in his ministry. But just imagine what God was putting in his heart, a longing for more. And that's my desire this evening, where I sensed in my own heart, even as a 15-year-old, where he said, I wish I'd had such teaching back then. I think my own heart's response was, Ralph, don't miss out on what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and what he's doing today. I'm not just trying to get on every bandwagon, every newest new thing that's happening, but I want to know what the Holy Spirit is saying, and I want to know what he's doing, and I want to be a part of that. I don't want to miss one thing that he's doing. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking in these days, in our time that we live in. He's revealing himself in unusual ways, and he's calling people to himself. He's pouring out his Holy Spirit. And it says in the scripture that in the last days, he would pour out his Spirit, that he would draw people to himself, and that those who would call on him would be saved, would live with him, and would serve him. And so this evening, I want to talk to you tonight about being a sidewalk and or a table talk prophet. You might say to yourself, a sidewalk prophet? Was ist denn das? Maybe you wouldn't say that. Maybe you'd say, what is that? What is a sidewalk prophet? Actually, there's a band from the United States called the Sidewalk Prophets. Or a table talk prophet. And that idea I got from Martin, there's a couple of Martins here tonight, not from Martin from Denmark, but Martin Luther. Because there are times when he was sitting at his table, speaking to people. Part of his life, obviously, he got married to a nun. That was quite an interesting historical event. And then they had many students and young people come to their home, and at the table they had amazing conversations. And there have been books written about those conversations, and it's called Table Talk. My basic idea with this is it's in the home, it's at the table, it's with your family. So I want to talk to us tonight about becoming sidewalk and table talk prophets. Becoming a generation of people who don't miss what God is saying, who don't somehow have a short circuit and didn't quite get it, and 30 years later say, oh man, I wish I'd been a part of that. I just heard about it, but I wasn't a part of it. Being part of a generation of people who will hear God's voice and will see what he is doing, and whose heart's cry is, I want to know God better, I want to hear him, and I want to do what he says, I want to do what he's prompting me to do. I want to speak on his behalf. I want to tell it to others. I want to take it to the streets, and I want to be a person who shares the heart of God with a time and a generation that needs so desperately to hear him. An interesting character in the New Testament. Not much is said about him other than the fact that he didn't believe. He had some doubt in his heart, and for a while he was dumb. He couldn't speak. Sometimes I feel that with the German language. Anyways, I want to look at his life with us tonight. Anybody know who it is? Right, Zechariah. In English we say Zechariah. So if you want to click there, the first thing I want to do is help us understand that Zechariah was indeed a sidewalk prophet. This guy had an encounter with God. He was the father of John the Baptist. And the mother of John the Baptist was his wife, which is a good thing. I didn't plan it. Ralph, that wasn't in your notes. Don't say those things. She was Elizabeth, and she was related to Mary. So John the Baptist and Jesus were related. I don't know if they were second cousins or how that worked, but they were related. Born about the same time, and because the two women were miraculously pregnant, Mary, obviously by the Holy Spirit, and Elizabeth from her husband, but they were both old. This was a miracle. And Zechariah was a priest, and it was his turn one day to be in the temple, and he was doing his priestly thing. He had robes on, and he was, I don't know what they all did in the temple there, but he was on the list for that time, and he was doing his thing in the temple, and an angel appeared to him and told him prophetically, the angel was speaking prophetically, you and your wife are going to have a son. Oh, unbelievable. That's what we've been praying for. Almost surprised. Oh, God answers prayer. Wonderful. But it was this moment where this angel said to him, this is what your son is going to, what God is saying over your son. And if you have a Bible with you and or want to make a note about this, this is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. It's a very long chapter. We're not going to read everything. But the same chapter also talks about Mary having this angel come to her, and also this account with Zechariah. So the angel says to him, this son that you're going to miraculously have because you're old and your wife is old, he, your son, will go on before the Lord, speaking of Jesus, in the spirit of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient, those who are unbelievers, he will turn their hearts toward the obedient. And instead of mocking those who follow God, they'll say, hey, we want to be around you because that's the way to live. That's the kind of ministry that this son of yours is going to have. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he's going to turn the hearts of the disobedient towards the obedient. So Zechariah is expresses some degree of doubt, and the angel says, well, this is all going to happen in spite of your doubt, which is a good thing. Isn't that a good thing? In spite of our doubt, God is still going to fulfill his plans. But he said, as a sign that, you know, not a punishment, I don't think, but as a sign that you didn't believe, you're not going to be able to speak. So he leaves the temple, and the people are aware that he's had some kind of experience in the temple because he can't speak and he's probably dazed or something. He goes home, and his wife obviously realizes something has happened, and he has to write everything down. So I have listed here verses 57 to 75, and just to jump ahead a little bit, it says in verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives, note these words, her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, so little John is 8 days old, they, the neighbors, came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John, because the angel had said his name is going to be John, and Zechariah had to write that down. His name is going to be John. Oh, that's weird. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. It was a tradition to carry on the name. They, the neighbors, made signs to his father, and I always thought this is kind of weird. He's not deaf. He's only dumb, but they're going, just speak to him. He can hear, you know, hello. So they made signs to the father, whoever that was done, to find out what he would name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, an iPad, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. And then this verse, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed and he began to speak, praising God. Just flooded out, came out of him. And then it goes on to say the neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. So here we have the situation. The neighbors and relatives are there for the circumcision and for the naming of the child. Zechariah, as a priest, he's not in the temple. He doesn't have his robes on. He's not swinging some incense. Oh God, you know, bless the people, or whatever he had to do in the temple. He was at home in his community. He was not alone. All kinds of people were there, his neighbors. And then it happens. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not 100% sure on this, so don't quote me on this, but where it starts in verse 67, it says, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Now there is a bit of, you know, in verse 65 it says the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the whole hill country everybody was talking about this. Everyone who heard this wondered about it. Would seem like time went on, and then when verse 67 comes, now at some later point Zechariah is filled with the Spirit and begins to prophesy. That could be the case. But I would like to think, if you'll give me a little bit of liberty here, that verse 67, his father was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy, is what happened in verse 64. Immediately his mouth was loosed, or his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. And it tells about the effect, and then kind of in parentheses, and this is what he said, because he was filled with the Spirit. So if you'll give me a little bit of liberty, this is my theory. So don't quote me, but follow me if you can. So he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's just overwhelmed with God's presence. And he begins to prophesy. And this is my theory, that he's still at home, and all the neighbors are there, and they're just overwhelmed by what he says. So that's if you'll follow with me on that. he's prophesying over them as his neighbors and relatives. And this is what he says, verse 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. He's not talking about his son at this point. He's talking about Jesus. Because his son is going to go before the Lord who is coming. And as he said through his prophets, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the path or the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. And I love these two phrases. And to enable us to serve him without fear. I mean, they were afraid of that temple because nobody could go in there except a priest. Sometimes they would tie a string or a rope around the guy's foot, like Zechariah going in there, because they were afraid something he might say something wrong or get something, you know, in the wrong order. They'd have to yank him out because he was toast, you know. But here it says, this Savior is going to come and he's going to enable you to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Imagine you have a bunch of neighbors over for some party, some festivity. It's your birthday. It's a wonderful day. You're outside. And we'll take the example. Someone has had a baby and you have this, you know, party to celebrate. Yeah, we've got a baby and his name is Johannes. And, you know, you're celebrating and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you start prophesying to your neighbors. Jesus is the way. I speak this out to you. He will make it possible for you to serve him without fear all the days of your life through his righteousness and holiness in his presence. That would be quite a party something or other. Favor? I don't know. Start prophesying to your neighbors? Sidewalk prophet. Did you know, I think that a large part of Jesus' ministry was on the sidewalk, was on the roads. Think of all the occasions where he healed people. Zacchaeus, he saw Jesus coming. Jesus, Jesus. Hey, be quiet. He runs ahead, jumps up into a tree, and Jesus sees him. He's on the road. He's on the sidewalk. He's on the move. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. It's not hidden away or it's, you know, in a back room somewhere. This is out in everyday life. And he meets this woman and he prophesies over her and says, yes, what you've said is true. You not only are not married, but the man you're living with is not your husband, and you've had four guys before that. She goes, runs back to the village and says, come and meet. She says, you must be a prophet. She runs back to the village and says, come and meet a man who told me everything about me. Not like this, but, oh yeah, he really loves me. He didn't scold me or toddle me or whatever. There was a love there, and they came and everyone turned to Christ. Sidewalk prophets, speaking God's truth, operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, revealing God's heart on the sidewalk, in the street, to the neighbors, people that you live near, people that are your friends in your neighborhood, at work, wherever you might be, prophesying, speaking forth truth. You can click for the next one. Zechariah, a table talk prophet. So in my mind, he's prophesied these amazing truths to his neighbors who are still there. And then there's a turning point, verse 76. And I can just imagine it. He's been talking to his neighbors. Perhaps he was holding little Johnny boy. Perhaps Elizabeth was holding him, or one of the neighbors. Oh, let me hold him. Oh, okay, you hold him. Anyways, he's there somewhere, and he's just prophesied these amazing things which will ring true in their minds. Oh, this sounds like the scripture. And he's saying that over their lives about how you can serve God without fear all of your life. What a freeing statement to receive to your heart. And then it's as if there was the camera angle changes, and he turns and he says, and you, little guy, and you, my son. It's a powerful moment. And you, my child. First it's to the neighbors, and then it's to his little boy. 8 days old. He can't say Gugu Dada. He can't say Mephibosheth or anything Hebrew. He says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. Whew. He receives that into his little spirit. He doesn't know anything about this, but he'll know as time goes on. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation. He's talking about Jesus through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. So here's this proud father. It's such a miracle child. He was old. His wife was old. They have this miracle child. He's prophesying to his neighbors. His tongue is loosed, and he starts prophesying to his neighbors. He turns then to his son and prophesies over him. Did your dad or your mom ever prophesy over you? Have you had your parents prophesy over you? Some of us from House to Hand were at what we call an encounter weekend back in May last year in a city called Waren in northeast Germany. And Kari, one of the men from our church, was sharing a testimony, a story about how sometimes the lack of love and care that our fathers, that they don't show to us, leaves a father wound, a hurt in our lives, a big vacuum. We so much want the approval and the love and the care of our fathers. That's just how God has made us. And he was telling his own journey and how God brought healing to his heart. And I'm not sure if it was him or someone else then asked the question, has anyone here, even as an adult, as a man, been blessed, not prophesied over, but been blessed by their father as a young man? And I think there were 25 or 30 men in that room. Two men put their hand up. Yeah. Very small percentage said, yeah, I remember my father blessing me as his son. I wasn't one of those men. My father, he was a pastor. But his generation, it's often a generational problem, found it difficult to get those words out, even to say, Ralph, I love you. I heard that 1 week before he died, a final phone call. I treasure that moment. I knew he loved me, but he found it so hard to get it out of his mouth. Let alone prophesying over me. Oh, God, Ralph, I just feel God has his hand upon you and he's going to use you in Germany and such things. I'm sure he prayed that, but he never said it over my life. Here's this man, what I call a table talk prophet. Table talk being a metaphor for being at home, being a prophet to your own children. The father heart of God. And a table talk prophet is someone who speaks prophetically in his home to his children. And it can be a mother as well. But the amazing thing is, in God's economy, it can also be the other way around. Children speaking to their parents. There is a hunger in our hearts. There's a hunger in Germany for the blessing of the Father. And let's turn it up a notch and say, oh God, would you raise up a generation of men and women who would know how to speak prophetically over their children, whose mouths would be opened, whose tongues would be loosed to speak into their children's lives. Children so desperately need this, not just the strokes and, oh, Johnny, you did so well in Mathe heute. You know, what a good job you did. Next time it should be a one. You know, first it's this and then it's this. Such a Leistungsgesellschaft, You get it at your work. It should be a safer place than at work. The home should be a safer place. But I want to conclude with this final passage from Acts chapter 2, where it all kind of comes together. Interestingly, what we just read, this happened 30 years or 33 years before Pentecost. Pentecost comes along in June, I think it is, this year. But here, when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and people were praising God in various languages and they were heard by various nationalities declaring the wonders of God in their own tongue, and they were amazed and perplexed. What does this mean? And some of them made fun of them and said, "Have you had too much wine?" I'm reading from Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. And then Peter stood up with the 11, the other apostles, and he raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, because it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then here are the echoes of this. If you read Luke chapter 1, what the angel said to Zechariah, you'll hear echoes of this. "In the last days," God says, this is what he's quoting from Joel, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, slaves, the lowest in society, both men and women, unbelievable, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they as well will prophesy." Your sons and daughters will prophesy. I'm talking table talk prophets. Not just fathers putting the pressure on fathers. They should take the lead. But families where it's not unusual, where you're sharing scripture and you're blessing each other. This should be normal, not unusual. Because God has poured out his spirit. What are we missing? I don't want to close my eyes when I die someday if I have enough bewusstsein still to think back on my life and think, man, did I ever miss out? I could have done this or that because the Holy Spirit was prompting me, but I was so afraid. I held my mouth closed and I did not say what I should have said. Or I didn't do what the adventure or go on the adventure that God had called me to. But here, this promise that in the last days your sons and daughters would prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, and even on your servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. It's no longer limited to priests in a temple with some kind of funny outfit, hiding away in some holy room, as holy as that place is, don't get me wrong. It's not for specialists anymore. God pouring out his spirit on all flesh, men and women, young and old, poor, educated, non-educated. Families, whole families should be coming to Christ. Overcome by God's heart, revelations of who he is, hearing his voice, seeing things that he shows you, revealing himself, boldly, lovingly sharing on the street, in your home, what you've heard and what you've seen. To your neighbors, to your work colleagues, amazing story, what Kirsty shared, fantastic. The boldness and the love that's behind that. This isn't some, well, I guess I should say things, or I should bring some flowers, or I should maybe offer to pray, I don't know. This is out of God's heart, to her heart, to a woman who so desperately needs him, to a woman who's having problems with headaches. Sidewalk prophet. In our homes, learning to hear God's word and share it together. This is what this world needs. This is what your family needs. This is what my family needs. That we share what we hear, we tell what we see, we take it to the streets, we do it in our families, and I call forth a generation of such people. Do you want to be a part of such a generation? We hear little bits and pieces of that, But I believe God wants to burst open the heavens and give us some kind of a downpour that will change our lives, will revolutionize our lives. And we will become fearless, bold, loving communicators of His heart to a world that so desperately needs Him. And bring such an atmosphere of His presence into our family lives. Some of you are married. Some of you want to be married. Be prepared. Be the kind of man, be the kind of woman that will be a table talk prophet. Be able to speak into each other's lives. Not this, but, oh God, this is what God was saying to me. And sharing because you're in God's word, you're hearing, you're worshiping, you're fellowshipping with Him. And you're encouraging each other. You're speaking into each other's lives. That's the kind of generation I'm asking God to call forth. And it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, follow the way of love, which is a reference back to chapter 13, the whole chapter on love. Follow the way of love and earnestly and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you might prophesy. Communicate spiritual utterances, truth from God's word, things that He's shown you, things that He's revealed to you, and say them out, speak them out. And I believe, like Zechariah, God wants to open our mouths and loose our tongues that we might proclaim His praise, and that He would raise up a generation of such people who will follow Him with all of their heart and say it on the street, in the family, praying for people for healing, being the very presence of Jesus for a people that needs Him. I'm going to ask Ed and the band to conclude our time with the song, I think it's Let It Rain. That would be good. And while they're getting ready, I'm going to ask you this evening, if you are here and you hear God speaking to your heart and you already, you're not really sure if you are a true follower of Jesus, I call forth you to be a follower of Jesus. He's calling out your name. Follow after me. Folge mir nach. And if you have not yet bowed your knee to this one we've been singing to and worshiping tonight, I encourage you, follow Him. Turn and follow after Him. You've been going in your own direction, but it says, repent of your sin, turn from your own ways, and turn and follow Him. Jesus called many people publicly to follow Him. Follow me. I challenge you tonight, follow Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm calling forth not only those who would say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, but I'm calling forth sidewalk prophets. I see a generation of people who say, yes, God, fill me with your spirit. I want to be a bold servant of yours, serving you without any fear. Sharing in righteousness and holiness in your presence, your truth to a generation that needs you. Oh God, I call forth such a generation. Sidewalk prophets, take it to the streets. And I call forth a generation of table talk prophets, a family lifestyle, a relational lifestyle where it's not about the latest app only. But it's about what God has revealed to you, and you're blessing each other, and you're touching each other's lives with the truth, and you're sharing the dreams that He's given you and the visions that He's shown you. That's the generation that I call for. This is what Mannheim needs. This is what Japan needs. This is what our world needs. A generation of people who know their God, who hear His voice, who know His heart, and live it out. Speak it out. And as our friends on the stage sing and lead us in this final song, and you sense God speaking to you, whether it's to follow Him or to say, yes, I want to be filled with the Spirit and be a sidewalk prophet. I want a boldness to come upon me. I want to hear His voice. I want to see visions and hear His voice. And in your family, Just stand where you are and ask people around you to pray for you, to lay hands on you, and that you'd be filled with the Spirit, that you'd be filled with boldness, that you would see Him in His loveliness. He is beautiful, and He wants to show His beauty and reveal Himself through you. So as we sing, stand, if God is speaking to you, wherever you are, and people around you will pray for you. I'm not asking you to come to the front or to the side, just stand where you are. And if there's no one there to pray for you, those of you who would feel led to pray, just go and pray for that person and just bless them, that the Holy Spirit would do that in their lives. And when the music is completed, I'll leave it up to you guys. We'll be finished.